Each one of us, for Christ's sake, speak to us in the name of Jesus. Speak to us where, right where we are. You know us. Meet our needs according to your riches in Christ Jesus. Thank you for your word. Father, your word is life, and let life be spoken from the throne room of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Hey, thank you for being here. Last week we started a message or a preach called The Gift of Leadership and Mercy. The Gift of Leadership and Mercy. And we spent the chunk of our time talking about Gift of Leadership. Today we're going to continue the second part of it, which is the Gift of Mercy. We thank God for our young ones who are doing next generation today, serving us in every opportunity. I pray that they will learn some skills. I pray that they will enjoy it. I pray that in 10, 5 years, 10 years' time, 2 years' time, even a few months' time, these are the guys who will be really, serving us and doing amazing things in the house of God. What they're doing is a good thing. And there are so many people in the Bible who did this. What they are doing is a good thing. Good work, training opportunity for them is also a good apprenticeship, as it were, for them. So parents, encourage your children. And I'm sure ministry leaders, you affirm them and encourage them. Shall we go to what we came here to talk about, in particular, the gift of mercy. The gift of mercy literally means to have compassion. To have compassion is to have compassion. To have compassion is to have sympathy, to show empathy or understanding of a situation. It's to show concern, kindness, or kind-heartedness towards someone. It means to show consideration, giving out something. However little it is, but you're giving it wholeheartedly. It's to show support and care. The gift of mercy is to have compassion. If you turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 8, he said that if your gifting is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give it generously. If it is to lead, do it with diligence. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. The gift of mercy, we show it when we show compassion or give compassion cheerfully. The gift of mercy is the divine enablement that the Holy Spirit gives us to cheerfully and practically help those who are suffering or in need. Having compassion that is moved to action. So showing compassion or sympathy or empathy or concern, kind-heartedness or consideration, support or care, if it does not move you to do something, that is not showing mercy. Are you following? So somebody coming to tell you that, look, I am in trouble. And you look at the person, you quote all the scripture under the heavens to the person, and then you walk away. The Bible says, where is your faith? Faith without action is dead. So your faith must be backed by action. If you have this gift of mercy, as you want to show compassion, it moves you. There's a yearning. There's a move in your belly, in your innermost being. There's a surge in you that you cannot just look at that person and walk away. You want to do something about it. Praise God. That is the gift of mercy. It moves you. Having compassion, that is moving you to action. The gift of mercy is one of those gifts that has diversity in its operation. It's like creative communication. It has diversity in its operation. That means it is not just one way to show mercy. That gift can be shown in many ways. Sometimes in offering treatment, like doctors will do, like nurses will do. Sometimes it comes in nurturing. It comes in tending, like a shepherd would do. It comes in nursing, like somebody out there in the hospital would do. It comes by paying or giving attention. The gift of mercy can come in helpfulness, being helpful, thoughtfulness, gentleness, showing understanding and interest in somebody. It comes in responsiveness. It comes in sensitivity. It comes in being a burden bearer, but in all these things, you do it cheerfully. Are you following? Right. Somebody may be a nurse, being paid for it, but the person don't really want to be there. That is not a gift of mercy. And as we develop it, you realize that those people may have that mercy heart, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they have a gift of mercy, but you understand why as we keep going. Are you following? So, he said, he who shows mercy, do it cheerfully. That's what the Bible says. Now, why are we saying that this is a gift? It's a special gift. You see, it's a gift that is unseen sometimes, a gift that nobody will even give thought to it, but we see why this gift is important. See, the root of the gift of mercy comes from the mercy seat. Anyone heard about mercy seat before? Anyone knows what it is? What is it? Anyway, walk through the Bible. What is it? Tell me. You said yes. Okay, now I've caught you. Now come to the Old Testament, walk through the Bible, and we will learn a lot more. Now, the mercy seat is the covering of the Ark of the Covenant. It's like the top, right? Like your saucepan that you cook at home, the top, if you're wondering what it is the covering of the Ark of the Covenant. Ark of the Covenant is a box that has a few things in there. It has the Word of God, the covenant in there. It has Aaron's staff, that budded, and it has a pot of manna in it. You see, I don't want to digress, so I will leave you as it is. But on top of it, it is covered. And on top of it, there are some cherubims, right? That is angels looking at each other. I don't want to digress, but I just want to talk about the covering. Now, the mercy seat representing the nature of Jesus. You see, God has his law. God has his provision in the manna. God has his authority as given to the prophets and the life that he gives, as in Aaron's bud. But the top of the covering of the Ark of the Covenant represents Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, on the top of the covenant is the mercy seat. Now, and the mercy seat tells you that this is who Jesus is and what embodies Jesus Christ. Because it is on top of the mercy seat that they pour the blood of the covenant. It is on Jesus Christ that his blood flowed. And it flowed to show mercy, right? It flowed to show mercy, compassion, understanding. I mean, trying to say, look, I understand your pain. It's on the mercy seat that greater love has been shown. Because when we read John chapter 15, verse 30, it said, greater love has no man done this, that someone would lay down his life for his friend. So God is saying it's the embodiment of the law, and everything that God has is embodied in Jesus Christ. And as you show this gift, you are showing the nature of who Jesus is. And you are showing that there is a greater love that one needs to show by laying down your life. So this gift, lay down your life for your friends. Even sometimes if it means you have to die. And a lot of people have been on missionary fields and they have died. A lot of people have been out there sorting people out in Ebola crisis and they have died. These people, divine enablement, they just give sacrificially without holding back. They give themselves even to die. You see, on the mercy seat, friends and family, we remove the pain. The Bible said on the mercy seat, the pain is going to be removed. The thorn in your flesh and the scourge of sin, the blight of sin, The blight in your life, the plague that is bothering you, the curses that is following you, the leprosy that has made you an outcast is going to be removed on the mercy seat. So this gift actually came to remove the mercy seat. When I was a kid, one of the things that I learned about missionaries to Africa and other third world countries is that a lot of them came and they worked with people who were leprous. And some of them even ended up being leprous themselves and died. Are you following? They put themselves in the shoes of the people that they were caring for. That is the nature of that gift. You just go all out. And the idea was to remove the pain, to remove the curse. And there is something sometimes on us. It may be that you are pained by somebody discriminating against you. You are pained by somebody saying things towards you. You are pained by somebody putting some curses on you. You are restricted. You are removed. You are distressed. You are under a whole lot of, as it were, scourges. And this gift, its role is to help to alleviate that pain, to come and walk alongside you, to help you out. From the top of the mercy seat, God will meet us and speak to his people. And all that concerns us. If you read with me in Exodus chapter 25, chapter 25, I believe, verse 21 and 22 said, "You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony which I will give to you. There I will meet with you, and from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony, I will speak to you about all that I have commanded you, all that I will give you in commandment for the sons of Israel." Hallelujah. You see, from the top of the mercy seat, God will meet with us and speak to his people about all that concerning them. See, why I said this gift, not only do you have to work in hospitals and show kindness and be a voluntary NGO and whatever it is great advocate of something that they do. But you see, when the Spirit of God in it, then as you go along people, to help them, to pour out your heart to them, to help them and to bring relief to their pain and sorrow, what you leave behind is to bring God closer to them so that they will meet God, so that God will speak with them, so that God will tell them all that concerns them, so that God will give them the blueprint as to where to go from there. You just don't heal them and leave them there. You heal them and leave God with them, and they will move ahead with God, this time stronger. Amen? That is the gift of mercy. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. If you watch all the healings that Jesus Christ did, most often he says, maybe if you have sinned, he said, "Go and sin no more. Your sins are forgiven. Be healed. Take up your pallet and go." That means he's not just leaving you that way. And 9 out of 10, all these people that he spoke to, the Bible said, they followed him. Have you noticed that? They followed him. Or they stayed with him. So the gift of mercy is a gift that when you exercise it, you bring people closer to Jesus by showing the very nature of Jesus Christ. The love and kindness, the responsiveness, the care, the helpfulness, and the nurturing, the gentleness, the showing to understand, the interest, responsiveness, sensitivity. You show all these things. And above all, they see Christ through you. And you bring them closer to Jesus. From here on, God will begin to speak to them because they know what God has done for them. Hallelujah. That is the background to this gift. And no gift takes its root directly from Jesus Christ than the gift of mercy. And a whole lot of people, sometimes we look at that gift and think, "Oh, no, no, mercy, what is it? Prophecy, teacher, apostle, evangelist. I mean, this thing, we just mention names. These are the big gifts that we see in the forefront." But the Bible tells in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that we are a body. Somebody may be small. Some organs are not even seen. But they control the body. You stifle those organs and you're dead. I hold your heart right now. I hope I'm not that bad. And you are dead. That is absolutely true. But nobody sees that. It has its function. So every bit of us has its function, and we should honor each other and what each other brings to the table and to the body of Christ. Who has this gift? The question that we may ask. The person who has this gift tend to love, to extend love and grace. That person tend to extend love and grace and dignity to those facing hardship and crisis. Brothers and sisters, if you are under hardship and crisis, most often you are brought to your knees. Most often you have no dignity. Most often you are nothing. Most often you don't even have the brain to think. You don't even have the mind to reason. Most often you just walk like a zombie. Most often you are haggard and you need help somehow. And the person with the gift of mercy will come alongside you, will show you love, will show you grace, will show you dignity, and will actually help you to face those hardships and crises to help you out of that. That is the gift of mercy. Amen? The gift of mercy, these people will come and there they will sit with you, just like the friends of Job. When Job lost his 7 children, when Job lost all his property, when all his body was covered with sores and he was tired and I don't know how he managed to sit, all his head and everything, he must have been having migraines upon migraines. And yet he would not give up his God. And when his friends went to him, if you read the Bible, you notice that for the first 3 days, nobody said a word. They just sat by him close. You know, sometimes it's not what you say, but what you do, that this gift stands on its own. You don't always have to come with words, you know. Because sometimes we are quick to talk, and we may talk rubbish. But just sit with a person. Supposing someone is dead, I mean, the crying, it helps sometimes to get some things off your chest. But you see, those with this gift sometimes will just come and sit with you just for company and encouragement. That's the gift of mercy at work. And those with that gift will be praying with you. They will not walk away by just leaving you there. They will pray with you or they will pray for you. So you sit with people. And in hardship, in crisis, you are with them. It's not about words, but what you do. They focus upon alleviating the source of pain or discomfort in suffering people. They focus on alleviating the pain and the source of discomfort of suffering people. So when they come in, they don't mess about the bush. They see what the issues are. They listen attentively. And while they listen, they're praying. It's like when you go to a doctor. I mean, many years ago, these days probably it's changed, but I'm sure there's still very, very important people in our society. When you go to a place to see a doctor, they will spend time to listen to the story that you are telling, isn't it? Sometimes, these days, they become robots. The moment you get there, they start writing the prescription for you. And I'm thinking, what are you writing prescription for? I haven't told you my problem. That is not a gift of mercy, folks. If you're a doctor here, please change your ways. Or if you're a nurse, or if you're a pharmacist, don't just prescribe things for people without hearing their story. Because sometimes just listening to their story is good enough. Because they need somebody to listen to them. And listening to them is half of the solution and the healing. Because most often Jesus Christ knows that people are suffering. I mean, some of it is so obvious. I'm thinking, Jesus, what's the matter with you? They come to him and say, Jesus, have mercy on me. And you know that the person is holding a white cane, can't see, and you ask him, what do you want me to do for you? It's something, isn't it? The lesson there is that they will always want to listen to your story. Those with the gift of mercy want to listen to your story. They have listening ears. Because as they listen, they discern, they decipher the rubbish and get to the source of the issue. And when they get to the source of issue, then they will focus on where the pain is, where the discomfort is, where the suffering is, and they offer solutions to that. And that is the gift of mercy. And me being presumptuous, you can think of Florence Nightingale. Yes, anybody know who she is? Well, if you don't know, go and read your history. Well, I mean, British history. In case. Right. She was apparently, right, from what I know, I wasn't living during her time. From what I've read, right, she literally pioneered modern hospital, right? During the Crimean War, she was, you know where Crimea is, right? Now Russia's, annexed it. Chaff, let me move on quickly. Literally, she really will come up in the night, and she used to be called a lady with a lamp. And when you've seen pictures in history books, she always carried a lamp. She'll come around with the soldiers who are hurting and bruised, and she'll come and listen to their story and bandage them, offer whatever it is. And she did it in a cooperative way that eventually she developed it. She wrote books and other things about it. And her base was St. Thomas's Hospital. Your sister works there. And eventually, the whole idea of hospitals as we know it in the big way happened. But you know something? She was a Christian. She was a Christian. So she was using the gift of mercy, moved by the Spirit, to care for the hurt and the bruised and the dying and the people in pain. So Christians, we have actually given this world a lot of things that we should be proud of. We have a faith that is strong because it came from the Bible. That is the nature of Jesus Christ. So somebody like her was actually portraying Jesus to these hurt and wounded soldiers. Never mind the rights and wrongs of war. Human beings were hurting. Never mind what the person has done, his background or her background, whether the person's a sinner or a righteous person, there's a child of God hurting. And this gift would do something for that person. That's why people move to go to other countries. They don't care whether Muslim, Arabs, African, Indians, whatever, Caribbeans, white, blue, they still care for them because their heart is for God and to bring God to people. Hallelujah. That is the gift of mercy. What is this gift for? Again, it's stuck a little bit, pressed for me. What's this gift for? Right. It concerns itself with individuals or social issues that oppresses people. You see, you'll be surprised that a lot of charities and pressure groups, people who led them were actually godly people with that gift of mercy. They just couldn't, sit there to see people going through so much pain and hardship. And you can think about Martin Luther King. Anybody heard about him? Right. Was an African American who couldn't bear the thought that some people seem to be more human than the others. And sometimes I blame our fathers who, out of greed, just made human beings born in the image of God commodities to be sold and thrown overseas and auctioned around. But then, without moving too far away from it, this man said, enough about this. It cannot be that someone born in the image of God can be discriminated that way. So he fought this social issue, which we call it civil rights. He wasn't the only leader, but one of the foremost leaders of fighting, and said, this injustice is not right. And the person with the gift of mercy will fight his tooth and nail. And let me be provocative. The result of slavery has not left us. That is embedded in some people's mind that other people are more equal. And go to our nation, go to our offices. Unless God is with you, be a director. I'm being provocative here. You see, but the person with the gift of mercy will work and say no. When I was talking to you about the gift of leadership last week, I was telling about some staff that I had, about half a dozen of them who were just qualified, smart accountant, but they were just doing rubbish job. And within 6 months, these guys were able to do a lot. And some actually have head in department and other jobs. The gift of mercy will look at people and say, you know what? I will focus and concern myself with these things as if it is mine. You are being oppressed. You are being suppressed. I am going to help you out of this. They are God-inspired acts of righteousness. They are God-inspired acts. They address the needs of lonely and forgotten people, like homeless people, acts of love, elderly people, those without a voice, like children who are vulnerable. Guys, help me out. I think this thing is sticking. So if you follow me, you press the button for me, please. Right. They address the needs of lonely and forgotten people. Somehow along the line, because of grief sometimes, not always, we can't wait to put our parents in the old people's home so that we can sell the property and pocket the money. It's true. I've seen some. At least a neighbor around me, I've seen one. And when you move an old person from their home and you put them into old people's home, you take their souls away, they soon die. Statistics shows and evidence shows that when people are old, don't move them. Let them stay there and die in dignity. And people with the gift of mercy will not sell their parents' property. They will make sure they provide for them, buy some home care for them. Or if you have time, provide for them. That's the gift of mercy. They do that all the time. They serve in difficult or unsightly circumstances and do so with cheerfulness. I've mentioned missionaries already. They love people as themselves. It doesn't have to be your own before you show mercy. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, that blessed are those, or blessed are the merciful, people who show mercy, for they themselves will receive what? Mercy. Right? So people who have this gift, they don't have to. You don't have to be my brother. You don't have to be my friend. You don't have to be part of this church. They are ready to show you mercy. They're ready to show you compassion. They're ready to show you kindness. They are ready to remove the thorn in your flesh. They're ready to sit with you. They're ready to own up as if it is them that is suffering. Those with this gift will have compassion when they see people are harassed, distressed, helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus Christ was a master at it because that was him. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, we read that when Jesus Christ, after talking to the people, he looked around and he saw them as people without a shepherd. And the Bible said he was moved in his spirit and he had compassion on them. That is the gift of mercy. No one showed this gift as much as Jesus Christ. So anyone with that gift of mercy, you are demonstrating Jesus Christ to the people that you see. You got to be moved in your innermost being. You got to be moved in your mind and heart. You got to be moved and want to bring shepherding to lead them to green pastures, to restore their souls. That is exactly what he did. Because some of them will be going through the valley of shadow of death. But how will they not fear evil unless there's a shepherd who is saying, I am with you. And that is what the person with the gift of mercy does. They come alongside you all the time. And they offer shepherding. Because they don't want you to remain in your distress situation, in your harassed situation. Sometimes even the law will harass you in many ways. Sometimes your employers will harass you in many ways. Sometimes your children will harass you in many ways. Sometimes your marriage will harass you in many ways. But someone will come alongside with that gift to say, I want to help you. Most often without a price. They just do it from the bottom of their heart. Because that is what God stands for. Let's take some biblical examples. And then we know that what we're talking about, we're talking scripture. You see, there's a story in the Bible called Bartimaeus. People like to refer to him blind Bartimaeus. I don't like that. It degrades the person. It profiles the person. It's literally, signposts him. And it means that you are that way forever. He wasn't blind Bartimaeus. Somehow his name was Bartimaeus, who happened to be blind. Are you following?
Yes.
You see, so sometimes some people will just profile you thinking you're nuts. You got it wrong. You're a sinner. Maybe you're a single parent. Maybe you're a loser. Maybe you're not going to achieve anything. The gift of mercy will not profile you. He will mention your name and say, you happen to be that way. And that not ought not to be that way. Hallelujah. So this man happened to be to be blind, but he sat by the roadside and started begging. The underlying issue was his blindness. And when he saw Jesus Christ coming, he started shouting, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. His cry was a call for a solution to his issue. And his issue was blindness, isn't it? You see, he was begging. The begging was a side issue. Folks, the begging was not his issue, not that he was poor. Because he couldn't see, he couldn't do things that other people would do. That is why he resorted to the next best alternative, to beg. So when Jesus Christ was coming around, he could have said, wow, that's a good crowd coming. Today's my day to become a millionaire. Everybody should put something in. He didn't ask for that. But in the middle of the chaos and everything, he said, Jesus Christ, Son of David, have mercy on me. So he focused on his issue. His issue was most important, folks. He had a cry. His cry was for a solution that he might see. The gift of mercy can hear through the noise, the commotion and obstacles to alleviate the source of the pain. Because in the midst of it, whilst he was crying, people said, shut up. People who could see can't even get to him. And you're blind. What do you want? Sit back. And the more they told him to sit back, the more he shouted. And the Bible said, Jesus Christ heard it and said, bring him to me. And when he brought it to him, to Jesus, he asked him, what do you want me to do? So the person who has the gift of mercy will hear the cry of people. And sometimes somebody may be home, and the person is crying. And unless you visit that person in the home, you will not hear the cry. You see, sometimes when we don't see you and we're testing and chasing, it's not that, I mean, we're thinking we are kind of, we want to stress you or something. We love you and we care for you. And we never know what you are going through. And sometimes after many months, when you met the person tells you their story and you feel ashamed. Why didn't you look for him or her? See, the people with the gift of mercy likely may have some kind of shepherding gift as well. And shepherding gift will not be their top gift, but to be there along the line. So what do you need to do? Sometimes in this church, we're trying our best to actually be good shepherds, to go and look for the lost sheep or the sheep that we can't see. So please, if we test you or we phone you, we send you an email, it's just that we want to see how you are doing. You see, coming to church is not everything, you know. Even though we would love you to come and worship God together because it brings warmth and it brings energy and it brings spirituality to us. But your well-being is most important to us. Because one day God is going to hold his leaders as accountable for what we do in our oversight of the church. So the person with the gift of mercy will hear the chaos, through the chaos, the noise. Just like a parent. Sometimes kids are making so much noise, or there's so much noise, and then a mother will say, will be quiet and hear that the son or the daughter is the one crying. And I'm thinking, how did they hear that? There's so much noise around. You see, mothers have some kind of mercy, right? Has nothing to do with trust. Has everything to intuition. But what we're trying to say, that folks, we need to hear through the noise. Now, another story that we want to pick up very quickly, the crying of the Jews or the Israelites. I've introduced the word Jews. Put Israelites in bracket. You see, Jews signifies people who are wanderers, passing through. You see, in this world, you and me are passing through. And as we pass through, we come through many obstacles and oppression and all sort of things that holds us back and prevents us from actually getting to our destiny. The Israelite stands for the people of God. So as people of God who are passing through this world, sometimes there are things that prevent us from achieving our destinies. And at this time, the people of Israel were in Egypt. The Bible said they were being oppressed by by the people they served, right? And the Bible tells us that God spoke and said, you know what? That your suffering has come to my ears. You see, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanite and Hittite and Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. I mean, this is a lot of names. But you see, it goes on further. And so behold, the cry of the sons of Israel have come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. Now, if you go on reading, it will tell you that the purpose of God intervening is that these people will, so that they will come and worship me. You see, the person with the gift of mercy, you see, will not go with that mind that I'm going to do this so that they can worship God. But as they go, they bring God into it. Because you see that these people are sons of Abraham too. They are people of God too. And God does not want his people to go through unnecessary suffering. Some Christians believe that it's all right to suffer because if you suffer, you are better Christians. It is not true. In fact, God did not create sickness. And sickness was never mentioned in the Bible until the people of Israel were leaving Egypt. That's the first time they talk about, sickness and medicine. And which ancient civilization specialized in medicine so much, and yet there was so much sickness in that country? Egyptians. So I just want you to know, God said, I am the Lord that heals you. So the gift of mercy brings healing to the people. It brings alleviation of suffering and unjust treatment to people. It alleviates burden of people. It takes them away so that they will be the very people that God, saved them to be. They will be true Israel before God. And they will know that now they have to worship God. Are you with me? So the gift of mercy leverage people through their giftedness so that they can worship God. And I said, if you are under a lot of pressure, sometimes worshiping God is difficult, you know. It is absolutely true. Don't kid me. It could be death. It could be poverty. It could be immigration issues. It could be discrimination. It could be sickness. It is difficult. Only the brave will still say, praise the Lord. But majority of people like me will moan and whinge. And sometimes your spirituality can even go low. Because you're struggling against the pain, the suffering, the injustice, and all those things. And so you're trying to surmount, as it were, the Egyptian power to be able to worship God. But a person with the gift of mercy will just come in and help you do this. The parable of the Good Samaritan. We know about that too, don't we? Okay, if you don't know it, go and read about it. You see, there was this, the Bible said a scholar, the teacher of the law, came to Jesus Christ and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? That was a very serious question. You see, but this question has something to say about the gift of mercy. This gift deals with the question of eternal destiny of people. Because what must I do to inherit eternal life? It's about the eternal destiny of people. Ordinary men going about their ordinary and normal lives, but attacked by robbers. Because there was a man who was on a journey, and he was attacked by robbers. They fell on him. They tore his clothes. They bruised him. They beat him and left him for dead. That's exactly what he says. A priest came. He looked at him. Nah. He walked on the other way. Don't blame him. That's not his top gift. A Levite came and looked at it. Nah. I can't deal with it. That is not his top gift either. And a Samaritan came. Did he have any gift? Nobody even think about a Samaritan. He's a sinner. Everybody shun him. He's no good. But he came, Bible said that he saw this person, he lifted my bandage, him poor in his bruises, took him to a hotel, probably travel lodge or something, and then put him there, and then said, look after him for me, and pay them some money, and said, look, do whatever you like. He gave him his own clothes and everything, and said, look, I'm going on a journey, I'm going on a business trip, when I'm coming back, if there's any further charges, I'll pay for it. And Jesus Christ looked at them, looked at this person who asked that question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And said, which of these three was the neighbor? And the person said, oh, the one who showed what? Mercy. The one who showed mercy. Didn't say the Samaritan. Even though they hated him, he could have known that he was a Samaritan. So he could have said that in a very disdain way. He said, nah, it's the Samaritan. But he said, the one who showed mercy. You see, so I just want you to know that this gift literally does not look at the person's face to show kindness. It's a gift that you have to love your neighbor as yourself. It is a gift that you pour your heart and soul with all your strength, with all your mind into it. Yes? Because when Jesus Christ said, the law says that love your neighbor as yourself with all your mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, quoting two scriptures, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, and Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, combined both to say, look, love and love them as yourself. So, this gift is not a headline-grabbing gift, like a priest or a Levite, like a pastor, or like a teacher, somebody who always stands and give notices, whatever. So they are the most holy people. This gift is not headline grabbing. Nobody knows that. It is overlooked sometimes. It's not even recognized. But it's a gift that pours its heart to people and its resources. And some people who are generous in giving may have this gift as well. Because some people cannot see people suffering and will not pour money into it to see that these people are made well. Are you with me? You see, if we go about and giving people money on the roadside, it's not a gift of giving. Neither is it a gift of mercy. You see, but they pour a lot of their resources. Some people pour money into research to make sure that cancer is never done, it is eradicated. Some people pour money to this. And most of the people who are actually doing this, do you know that they are Christians? You don't know that, do you? Even in this generation, because you need this gift to bring change in society. You see, I like giving you facts because facts are our friends, as Bill Hybels would say. When the truth is in your face, you can't deny it. You see, so this gift is likely to be with some wealthy people. My understanding, I don't know that for a fact, that Bill Gates is a Christ follower. I've heard it from many sources and some church people. I've heard it on the telly and some interview that he didn't say, precisely that I listened to, but he alluded so much to the fact that he is a Christ follower. And this man pours millions of money, of his own pocket money. Apparently his pocket money for the year is about 56 million. Only one would do for me. Right, that is his loose change. And he poured them into AIDS in Africa. That is amazing, isn't it? Jesus asked, which of these three was a neighbor? The one who showed kindness. And the last thing Jesus said is that go and do the same. Go and do likewise. Let me bring couple of quick stories here. That's a story about some lepers. I would like you to read it because in the course of the week, the Bible readings will be coming, and it is for you to go and read it and get deeper understanding of what God is saying. I'm only skiving the surfaces for you or scratching the surfaces. But when you sit down in your own home and you read these Bible passages and you ask God for understanding, he will release something deep into your spirit about this gift. And that will help you to know whether you have this gift. You see, there was a story about 10 lepers who came. Jesus Christ was passing from Galilee into the land of Samaria and to go to Jerusalem. And literally, Samaria is bad people's land. And Jerusalem is good people's land. And Jesus was in and out, in and out. In this world around us, there's good people, bad people. And somehow, these were 10 lepers. Shun, outcast. Nobody wanted them anywhere near. And nobody wanted to go to them. And they saw Jesus Christ. They wouldn't even go to people because all their confidence had been shaken. Because people said, you are a leper, so we have to put you at the outside of the city. Many years ago, some of us were put in East London. If you are old enough. Hello? I mean, I like bringing facts. I'm not ashamed to say the truth. So, certain parts, certain people are not allowed to live in London and in our country. Some years back, my father's time. And that is the same sometimes. These days, it's changed a lot. But then leprosy was like that. People were outcasts. Nobody would go to them because they were Samaritans. And yet they live among the Galileans. And they cried unto Jesus and said, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. And Jesus turned around and saw that they were leprous. He called them, he healed them and said, go and show yourself to the priest. And when they came, when they did, only one of these 10 actually went and came back. Well, they didn't say that whether they went or not, but he said, go and show yourself to the priest. But one came back to Jesus Christ to say, thank you. And Jesus said, look, did I not heal 10? But only one came to say, thank you. What I'm trying to bring across for this gift of mercy is that the gift can sometimes produce thankless outcomes. The very people that who receive mercy sometimes will not show appreciation. But it doesn't mean that you've got to be angry. If you have that gift, you'll still press on. Are you following? Yeah, sometimes if you have this gift, you have broken heart. You'll be hurt because you pour your heart, soul, and everything into people, and the very people will turn around and say, you're the bad guy. You're the enemy. You're the loser. It's your fault. And they know it's not your fault. It's a thankless gift. So if you have this gift, prepare to have heartaches. But the healing will come from Jesus Christ. Because that is your job, to heal people. So he will heal you. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive what? Mercy. Praise God. And you know where that one is, isn't it? Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Don't forget. Short verse. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. The last story, which Pastor Ben will develop when he comes on the 19th, is the story about Lazarus who died. Right. Lazarus died. And those who are distressed and need compassion sometimes know there's a way out, but sometimes don't know how to get out of it. Someone needs to show them mercy when they come and fall at their feet. Here was Martha and Mary. Martha came to Jesus and said, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And he said, don't worry, he will rise up. And the woman said, yes, I know there's resurrection of the dead, and one day he will rise up at the end of the day. You see, she did not actually envision what Jesus Christ was talking about. Because she was so hurt, so bruised, so blinded by the pain that she was going through that she did not understand what Jesus was saying. Sometimes Jesus had to come around. The Bible said, and Jesus Christ was moved when Martha came and when Mary came as well. And she also came and said the same thing. Oh Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So somehow along the line, somebody is crying and said, oh, if you had been there. Oh, Duane, if you were there. Oh, Paul, Jenny, if you were there, my brother would not have died. They're crying, but you've got to be there. Those with that gift will always be there when you need them, even if it takes time. And when they get there, remember, the person who's sitting there knows the solution, but because of the conditions around them, they just can't do anything about it. It needs an external input to help them out to get to where they ought to be. And that is exactly what happened during Jesus' time and Mary and Martha. And Jesus spoke into the situation, and this person lived, because the Bible said he was moved in the spirit, he was troubled in his soul, and Jesus wept. And people say, see how he loved him. So I just want you to see the conclusion of the story, that we demonstrate the nature of Jesus to the world when we show mercy. For one day, we will also receive mercy. The ministry of healing and saving souls is about showing mercy and love and kindness. And somehow, the people with this gift are very, very needed in the church. Hey, God bless you. Amen.